Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing?
I'm good. Just got a message from Amazon that my ibuprofen's going to be delivered very soon. So, yeah, it's all going off like a frog in a sock here at Shea Donaldson. It really, really has.
I love every the sort of, if you start this podcast back in 2018, you listen to the earlier episodes, you can hear like your life in your sitting room in a little flat in Soho. And you can be like, oh, I've just come home and there's rubbish all over the flat. It's terrible. It's awful. And then, there'll be like drunk people stumbling around out front. And then, there's just – but we've sort of progressed. And now you live in – then you lived in a country house in a very nice
in
place.
Yeah,
it was wonderful. And now you're and now somewhere else.
No, I'm somewhere else. I'm in Essex near the beach. But the thing that gets me, I drove down to Canvey Island yesterday. I didn't really know what Canvey Island was. So I was like, I'm going to go to Canvey Island because A, I can drive now. It seems weird, right, that I can... So my driving test was weird because I thought I'd failed. I thought I'd absolutely fucked it. I was fuming. 10 minutes in, I'm out of curb. And from experience from your one of your driving tests, because we're both in the two pass club, the two test club. You can't clip curbs, you can't mount curbs. But I did the very smallest of slow kind of mountings of curbs, and I thought I'd fail at that point. And that was 10 minutes in, and so for the rest of the exam, I was fuming. I was fuming with myself. I can't believe I'd done it. I was so angry with myself. And I don't know what it is. It must have been me just being quite relaxed because I was so angry with myself. And I was constantly just like huffing and puffing and being really upset with myself. I can't believe I fucked it. And the driving test man, the examiner, was, oh, he was like full of the joys of spring. And I was angry with him because I was like, he's taken me back to the test center and I've failed. And he was asking me where I got my watch from, you know, this and that, like talking about how busy it is. And I genuinely thought I'd failed. And I got to the end and he said, yeah, you passed. I was like, what?
You mounted the curb and you passed the test. How much money did you give him? There's like a sneaky Pete Donaldson envelope branded in football.
It wasn't really a mounting of the curb, but it stopped the car. Like, you know, I could feel that the car wanted to mount the curb. So it wasn't too bad. And it was like, I was looking around, there was no one around. It was at 1 mile an hour. That was his rationalization for me. But I do find it fascinating that I can go from that chilling experience to now I can drive. Now I can drive where I want. And it seems like there should be more to this whole driving situation, to be quite frank.
I mean, I can't believe you can drive, first of all. Well done on passing.
Cheers, mate.
You mentioned it in the last episode, but we sort of brushed over it for some reason. Because it was dwarfed by you getting COVID. And you go back and listen to Pete's wonderful experience of catching COVID, Braun Japan exclusive. But next exclusive, Pete passing his driving test. That means you can now drive in Japan. You just need to get an international driver's license, which I always found weird, right? That you just fill out a little booklet at the post office, put your photo in it, and then you can drive in Japan for a year.
And there's no test. There's no further test.
Terrifying.
Terrifying.
Unleashed
stuff
on the roads of Japan, mounting the curbs, running over everyone. Bloody hell! But so how's it been? Like, have you driven alone yet at all?
Actually, I must admit, I did drive to Canvey alone because I was like, well, I'm out of lockdown now, but you know, I still don't want to risk anyone's health. So I basically did a Dominic Cummings and just drove myself to a tourist spot and then drove back again because there was just nothing else to do. Maybe I'll do a tip run today. Maybe that I'll treat myself to a bit of a tip run. Get rid of some of those boxes we got in the garden.
So you drove to Canvey Island, which is just like a waste, isn't it? Like a wasteland in the River Thames.
I mean, there's a lot of like caravans and stuff. There's like a big caravan park that I drove through, which kind of made it looked like Trailer Park Boys. It kind of looked a bit like that, which is quite cool. I love a caravan.
I still remember very vividly my first time driving a car alone, and it was some really dodgy, I think it was like a Citroen or something, my dad let me borrow, and it's rubbish, but it was still quite exhilarating, like just being like, wow, I can go where I want now. Like when I was growing up as a kid, the only dream I ever had was driving a car and just being free and then just going wherever I wanted. And when I did get a car, I just went off the rails. Like every day I drove somewhere pointlessly, aimlessly. I'd like
bad
drive
boy for
like
life.
500.
Wow.
I remember I drove like 200 miles once just to go to McDonald's. And then I turned like, that sounds dreadful now in a time of global warming.
That does sound dreadful.
But I am the reason there's global warming. But
the man needs his nugs.
I wanted to get there, and I needed to reward myself somehow for passing my driving test, and it seemed like a fit.
Yeah.
I drove to McDonald's at Heathrow Airport because at the time I was very desperate to leave the UK, and I sat and ate my chicken nuggets, and I looked at
the
British Airways flights.
Off.
Yeah, it was magical. and just look at where I am now. But well done, though. No, seriously, I hope you can actually enjoy that scene. and frolic in a new car. What car have you got? Aston Martin DB9?
Yeah, Fiat 500.
Classy. Very snazzy.
I love a Fiat 500. I'm not a car driver. I'm not a big car fan. I can't be arsed with the fancy numbers. I love a Fiat. I think they are iconic looking things.
Is it? Yeah, I've always wanted to drive one. How does it drive, Fiat 500?
I don't know cars at all. This is my first car, but if I was going to rate the acceleration 0 to 10, I'd say it's a 2. it works. You got to work very hard to get up to speed.
Oh, dear. My first car was a proper car, was a Fiat Punto, and it was a diesel engine, and it sounded like a lorry because it was diesel and it was made in like 1995, and it was so bad that before you could drive it, you had to turn the key and wait 10 seconds for the engine to physically heat up to the point that it could be switched on. It was good fun, though. It was kind of fun, like driving a car that you don't care if you smash it up, provided you don't die along the way. But
I'm very much not wanting to smash this one up. I love my little Fiat.
But I'm glad that you passed the second time. From what I've understood from people I know that passed. Everyone that passed first time crashed very quickly. Everyone that passed second time, a lot of people, I think, just don't crash as often. If I'd passed my first time, I wouldn't have been ready. I would have crashed. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Like, I needed another month of getting behind the wheel and practicing.
It's very weird sort of being behind the wheel of a small automobile there where nobody else is in your car going, Pete, watch out for that car. So, and you are very much needing to sort of really have your wits about you, unfortunately.
Absolutely. And you know the best thing to do in the car? Listen to Too Much Volcano. It sounds amazing on a big speaker system. Crack that out, Pete. Okay. Drive through the mountains of Essex, listening to Too Much Volcano, you'll feel like a king.
Because I've not been on holiday for such a long time, and some of my favourite holidays have been in sort of Texas in the US, and there's a really poor radio station called Chris Country. Sorry, excellent, just in case they want to give me a job. Chris Country, and I think it's short for Christian Country. And all of the country music, this very commercial, if indeed there are any uncommercial country music, I mean, there's some awful music out there, just the most saccharine kind of by numbers music, and bands that kind of weirdly come from like Yorkshire who'll go over to America and just play this very asinine, very kind of like you know, watery version, approximation of country music. And but I love listening to Chris Country in the UK because it puts Chris in country. Mind those kind of trips across America where, you know, country's a big deal, inexplicably.
So you listen to that while you're driving through the hills of England.
Through bloody the hills of Essex, listening to Chris Country, listening to very British-sounding DJs introducing your Garth Crooks and stuff.
You can listen to some Japanese radio. You probably won't have the faintest idea what's going on, but
no,
have that on. It'll be like
I like J-Rock. J-Rock's pretty good.
J-Rock's good.
I can sort of link up my Bluetooth.
Good, yeah. Well, we got a story this week from Luca. And it begins, greetings, guys. Greetings, Fried Chicken King and Coolish Overlord. I'm Luca. I'm writing to share my story during my Japan trip before the COVID-19 situation got serious. I was in a train heading to Kobe Station to meet my friends for dinner as I accidentally woke up at 6 p.m. after an overnight flight to Osaka. I quickly boarded the Hankyu line, and boy, was it packed there. While commuting like sardines, I was standing close in front of a high school girl. However, she looked as though she was very uncomfortable. I thought it could be my body odour from my sweat, but she caught my glance and silently said, "Tasukete," aka help me. As a former serviceman from the Singapore Police Force, I decided to check my surroundings and I noticed that a hand was actually touching her. As the train doors opened, I quickly grabbed the molester's hand, pulled him out and conducted an arm lock for handcuffing, only minus the handcuffs. He fell on the ground and I might have broke his nose from the aggressive action. The authorities came and took the molester away. And I was escorted to the police station to provide my statement. However, as my primary language is English, the Japanese police looked as though they had a hard time understanding my statement. After the entire ordeal, the police told me in broken English, "No more hit, people. You are tourist." After leaving the station, I hurried to meet my friends. Even till this day, I don't feel accomplished after that entire incident, as from reading news articles in Japan, there isn't much punishment on males who assault women on trains. I'm sincerely hoping the high school girl I helped was not too traumatised from the incidents. Now, questions. Chris, have you ever encountered an incident similar to what I experienced, and do you find the Japanese police are a little bit too lenient in punishing these disgusting men? Love the channel and the podcast. Regards, Luca. Yes, they are very lenient, Luca, and no, I've not experienced it personally, but I know literally every female I know has, unfortunately, and it's not good. And we did have a very cathartic
good on,
story.
Good on you, Luca. Good on you,
first
Luca.
Of all, well done, Luca. It's a shame that the police were like, "Oh, don't hurt people." Like, fuck off. Like, honestly, I bet they probably because they couldn't communicate in English. They probably thought Luca was this thuggish Singaporean that's come over beating up a poor, helpless salary man who was just enjoying the train. But I think. It's no doubt about it, big problem. I've know so many people that have had issues. Remember that time we had a story about a guy, even a guy who got fondled on a train? It's not just girls that happen, but it obviously is overwhelmingly girls. But we had a guy that happened to in, I think, Ibaraki or something. But we had a very cathartic story, didn't we, of a man who did something like this at Shibuya Station. He got shouted at. He then jumped on the railway lines and ran away from the police. He ran down the railway tracks and then he jumped off a bridge and broke his arms. And bloody surreal. What an idiot. What was he possibly thinking? How are you going to escape the police down the fucking Yamanote line?
Down the train track, yeah. And I think with Japanese, the Japanese justice system, oh God, I'm so foggy, COVID. They, you know, obviously they've got that kind of amazing like 99% conviction rate and they're not going to take anything to trial. They're not going to take anything further because A, seems to be a lot of it going on and B, like it's you know, there's no... If they feel comfortable enough to be doing that sort of thing on a train, chances are they're not getting filmed, they're not getting caught on camera because it's just a big mash of people on there, isn't it? So yeah, it's difficult for the authorities, it's a real fucking shame that people have to go through that, especially, you know, high school students. Jesus Christ!
Absolutely.
Luca says, you just hope that it hasn't affected her in the future.
I remember I was with a friend in Daiso once, and the friend was a girl and she was shopping, and we kind of went our separate ways. I went to the toy aisle and played with the toys.
Of course you did.
30-year-old man playing with the toys in Daiso. And she came over and she said, there's a man following me around Daiso. And I went, really? Are you sure? Like, seems a bit weird. There's cameras everywhere. And I looked up and there was a guy wearing a hat and his head was down, and he was like on the next aisle over looking like he was pretending to look at something, but he was clearly like following her. And I was a little bit like, no, it's just coincidence. And so we walked from one side of the shop to the other, and then he appeared. We walked to the other side, and like we went from like plant pots to sweets to bags to paper. Like we went everywhere. And over the course of about 10, 15 minutes, he was always there. And it was no doubt that he was doing something. And
as soon as you get to you know, hit puberty, I imagine women just get this like that, like a sense of something's not right, because it frequently isn't right. You know,
this made me extremely angry, and I felt kind of, I didn't know what to do, because I got really angry and I wanted to punch the man in the face. Although my visa was up for renewal at the time, and I thought that'll probably kill that and blow everything wide open. Like I felt very powerless. And the way he was doing it, he was very sneaky. It's clearly fucking weirdo. This is the sort of shit he did every day, like, because he knew what he was doing. He did it in such a way that he could sort of have some sort of plausible deniability. Like, he did it, like, he could be like, oh no, I was looking around the shop. Like, if you reported him and said, look at the cameras, he could probably sneak his way out of it, right? But I caught him, like, manoeuvring to sort of look at her. And I went right up to him. I stood like just right in front of him. And I was like, I wanted to say something to him, like, fuck off, like, just leave her alone. But like, I just stood there and hoped he'd get the hint. And he did start, after that, he did sort of back away a little bit, but he was still there. He was still kind of looking. And then I started staring
at
him. And then he noticed me. At one point, there was almost like a sitcom level scenario where he was at the end of one of the aisles looking about from about 5 meters away. And I stared at him. I glared at him. He caught me glaring. And then he sort of like popped his head back and disappeared behind the corner. Like, sort of moment. But like, honestly, if it was the UK, I would have probably done something a bit more dramatic. And I've always felt a sense of guilt over that I didn't do anything more. But I don't know what I could have done apart from just shout, stop being a fucking creep out loud and get the whole shop to notice. Like, I think I even pulled my phone out to sort of insinuate that I was going to film him. But it honestly. So it does happen a lot. It doesn't happen a lot. And seeing it like that, it was quite unpleasant. Like, I feel sorry for everyone that has to deal with it. But we need more Lucas who come here on holiday, who don't have to worry about visas and can assault people who deserve it, because they absolutely do. They really do. We've got a story this week. Last week, we talked about Japan's payment systems. We talked about Suica cards and how Japan is moving into an era where we can finally pay for things digitally. It's very exciting. Like in the UK, right? We use Visa debit machine where we can just tap our card, right? And all your money's gone.
Yeah.
Is it magical, Pete? Do you like spending all your money? Tap, tap,
I certainly
tap.
Do. It's very easy these days, isn't it? I think they upped the contactless limit to £45. That's dangerous.
Oh, God.
That is dangerous. Tap, tap, tap. All your money's gone. Bye.
Now you can buy... Oh, you can't buy a video game. They're like £60, aren't they?
Yeah, probably like indie video game. Well, I think I said last time, like the only thing that I managed to do under my illness was play the video game Thimbleweed Park.
Next time you're sick,
a big thimbleweed.
Next time you're sick, you'll be able to play the Journey Across Japan 16-bit video game.
Looking forward to that.
Still researching how the hell we're going to do it. But
it's a long time to make games, Chris. Longer than a video.
Yeah, it's going to be a disaster if it goes ahead. But anyway. So there's a payment system come out in Japan called PayPay, which I absolutely hate the sound of. It sounds very childish and annoying, but it's very big, and I probably just destroyed any hopes of getting a sponsorship deal. But a guy in Saitama has been stealing food from a store by making his phone pretend to say the word PayPay. So when you do a transaction, right, it goes PayPay. It does like one of those annoying little noises. And it literally says PayPay. This guy rigged his phone so it would say PayPay, even though he wasn't PayPaying. He was just getting his phone. He recorded the noise. And so basically cashiers, the people at the cashier, were getting done. Like they thought he had paid for it when he absolutely hadn't. So this guy, a restaurant owner, Takuya Takahashi, was arrested on suspicion of tricking a discount store into thinking that he had paid 8,200 yen, $75 worth of food over several visits in August last year. When using PayPay, the customer first scans the store's QR code with their smartphone. They then enter an amount of money and tap the payment button, completing the purchase and confirming the payment with a little voice saying PayPay. When Takahashi was at the checkout, rather than tapping payment, he instead made his phone play a recording of the PayPay chime, tricking the cashier into thinking the payment went through. It would seem that the staff in question wasn't paying attention to the message on the screen and just cleared the payment after the audible PayPay queue was heard. After some time, the store began to notice that they're coming up short at the end of each day that Takahashi had visited. Upon this realization, they reported to the police. Investigation was launched, which resulted in his arrest. While in custody, Takahashi reportedly admitted to the crime, saying that he was dealing with money problems, but crime doesn't PayPay. As wrong as it is, it's hard to deny the cleverness and audaciousness that goes into pulling it off. I don't know how I feel about this. On the one hand, I suppose it is crime.
It's ingenious. It is ingenious. Yeah, but I mean, it's just food, isn't it? Like, if he was stealing, you know, mobile phones and stuff, it is just food. So good on him, I say. PayPay. It's a funny little. He's done well there, hasn't he? Ingenious, absolutely ingenious.
At what point does it go from being funny food crime to outrageous burglary that is wrong morally? At what point, Pete? It's,
if you're taking two melon pans rather than just one, you know you're in trouble.
8,200 yen. It's not a big amount, but like no. I think it's good in some respects because hopefully now PayPay will tell everyone. By the way, don't just go on the sound of PayPay. Look at the fucking machine.
Yeah, probably a lot of run people. It properly. I like the. I like the fact. I always start every sentence on this bloody show like that.
I like the fact,
but the way that PayPay, I presumably that would be emitted from the actual till itself rather than the mobile phone, would it be? So he's basically mimicking the sound of not only a mobile phone doing it, but also a till. So the cashier is doubly to blame, I think, in my opinion.
That's a good point. Yeah, the sound should come from the little card reader
dingle dangle.
Yeah, he's rumbled them. Very clever man. Very clever man. I hope he sorts out his money problems, and I hope PayPay sits up and takes notice before thousands, if not millions, of people exploit this massive, spectacular flaw. We'll be back in a moment with the fax machine and your questions.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What have we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Dawson?
We got a message from Nate. Hello, Nate. Ohio, Pete and Chris. Guys, I'm currently planning our March 2022 trip to Japan. And given that we've had a lot of time to plan and replan, we've been given more thought to our ryokan stay. My question is, though, how many days is a typical ryokan stay? Do people typically stay for one night? Or if we stay for 2 days or more, should we plan going out during the day and doing things away from the ryokan? Or should we stay on site and just do our best to relax and wind down? I want to check with you guys to see if that would be doing it wrong. Cheers, Nate.
I mean, on average, most people only stay one night at a ryokan, and you sort of check in at 3, you have a nice bath on the onsen and the hot spring, then you have a nice big dinner, because they typically come with a lovely dinner, the best dinners you'll get in Japan, a kaiseki, 500-course meal, and then you'll go in the onsen again, and then in the morning, you'll get up at about 7 or 8 a.m.
Go on the onsen.
Go in the onsen again, yeah. Ryotaro gets up really early, typically. He gets up like 5 o'clock. And then get a nice multi-course breakfast as well, right? And the breakfast is typically a big part of it. And then about 9 or 10, you'll check out, job done, go home. And I think on average, like, that whole experience would cost somewhere between $250 to $350. And, it's a fantastic little thing. Like, obviously, in Japan, people don't have that much free time. When they do have it, they don't have time to travel outside the country like we do. I remember when I was a student, I just got on an EasyJet flight at 5 a.m., went to Zurich for the day, and sat in Zurich and had some chocolate on a little boat across a lake. It was wonderful. But in Japan, they're not in Europe. They don't have that luxury. And South Korea is the closest place. It's a little bit too far to have a day trip. But so they do have these sort of day trips, these little one-night, two-day trip getaways to ryokan. But I think the only time you'd want to stay in a traditional Japanese inn more than one night would be if you are in a place or a city like Kyoto. I was reading about Steve Jobs in Japan when he used to come to Kyoto and what he used to do. And there's a really nice ryokan in central Kyoto that he always stayed at, and he'd stay there like a week long and he'd love it. So if you're somewhere like Kyoto, then yeah, it's probably worth doing it, or Kanazawa, or maybe even Hakone could be good for 2 nights. But for the most part, one night is good. And if you do stay more than one night, the costs rack up very fast, and the food gets a little bit repetitive for dinner and breakfast as well. You know, you've stayed at a few places though, Pete, right?
I've stayed at a few different places. I think booking hotels quite late, ryokans, usually you've got a good chance of getting some a free room, which is pretty good. So yeah, and it doesn't matter how long you stay. Like nothing does chill like a ryokan. Nothing does chill like Japan. It's very, very restful. If I was, you know, people who sort of spend thousands and thousands of pounds on going to like a really expensive spa in this country, an entry level ryokan in Japan, I always think is of equivalent chill, equivalent quality.
Well, I mean, I actually, after Journey Across Japan, which after finishing the series and editing it and everything, I was really burned out and just not in a great state of mind. And I needed a few days off. Mm. But I, on very spur of the moment, very spontaneously booked a ryokan just north of Sendai in, what's it called? Oh, I can't remember the name of the resort. It might have been Akyu. But yeah, I got one that had a nice outdoor bath in the room. There was some sort of discount. I think it came to 2 or 3 man. It was pretty reasonable at the time. And it was great. I checked in at 3. I sat in the outdoor bath and just sat there and did nothing. And then I had a lovely dinner and ate some sweets and watched some TV in bed. It was great. And I felt really rejuvenated by the end of it all. And yeah, sort of the equivalent, as you say, of going to a spa in the UK, I think. You know, I think for me, the idea of going on holiday within the same country, I've always found that difficult to contend with in the UK because we just go to Europe, right? We just disappear to Europe. But yeah, in Japan, the country is very well prepared for domestic tourism. They do a very good job of it. And the service quality at the ryokans is always top-notch and a great place to escape. We've got one here from Jor, spelled J-O-A-R, from Sweden. Cool. Jor or Jor? It's definitely Jor. Hello, Chris and Pete. I'm a long-time watcher of the channel, recently found the podcast. One of my favourite hobbies is powerlifting. However, my impression of gyms in Japan is that it's frowned upon to drop or slam weights and make noise. Have either of you ever experienced loud Japanese people in the gym before? Best wishes, Jor from Sweden. What about you, Pete? I know you like coming to the gym in Japan all the time, at least twice a week. What's your experience?
Yeah, no. Look, I used to be a Mr. Pump Up back in the day. I, you know, I was in all right shape for about a year.
You still are.
I find people who throw the weights down rather arrogant with that. I find sound, and it's something that I really vibe with Japanese people, is that I find noise quite arrogant. If you come in the room and you slam the door, you bash something, or you just sort of bellowing around, I think that there's a level of arrogance there, to be honest. And when people, like, they've done their pump and they throw it down on the floor and they go, "Arr!" And it's like, if you can lift it, you can put it down properly. It's always the signs in the gym. They always says, if you can lift it, you can put it down slowly and properly. So there's a little bit of me that goes, you shouldn't be slamming the stuff down ever, wherever you are, for crying out loud.
Yeah, no, I'm kind of with you on that one. I started going to Anytime Fitness, like everywhere. There's like 3 Anytime Fitness gyms in every city at the moment. And I started going to one, and yeah, they're pretty loud. It's not like, it's not like your typical Japanese library style scenario where everyone keeps to themselves, keeps quiet. The powerlifters do drop the weights, and it's very loud and very jarring. And
what kind of music do they play? Like, what kind of music do they play? Is it like kind of? I imagine the music they play is rather intense because Japanese pop music is rather intense.
It's kind of like hip hop, R&B, foreign music. Yeah, it's all right. But like everyone, I stick my earphones in and listen to Too Much Volcano on repeat as I jog. To be fair, I haven't been in the gym in a while. It's not good. It's not good, Pete.
Hey, look, you're moving offices soon, so that's going to take.
That's going to take.
You're lifting with your legs. You're going to be doing enough lifting, I think.
Absolutely. We've got the Abroad in Japan studio, ladies and gentlemen. We did get it. I got the keys. I went in it the other day. It was great. I rolled around on the floor. Before I actually do anything with the studio, I'm going to get some double glazed windows put in to cut the noise outside, because it is Sendai. You can hear like everything happening. Car parks, sirens, people, power lifters. You can hear them all. Yeah. So I'm getting the windows put in so I can actually shoot in there. And then I'm getting a little wall put in around the entrance, because right now when you go into the studio entrance, you just walk straight into the studio, and I need some sort of like Genkan entrance place where you can take your shoes off. But yeah, it's very exciting. It hasn't really dawned on me that I've just got a studio now. And I don't think it'll dawn on me until I've got the furniture and the carpets in, which I'm not looking forward to. I'm not the sort of person who gets excited about interior design, really. Do you, Pete?
No, no. When it's done well, I'm very excited by it. The last bit of interior design was me when I lived in Arsenal about 10 years ago. We just moved into a house and I'd watched the film, Tinker Tailor, Soldier Spy, the John
film.
Le Carre adaptation. And I was obsessed with having like a 70s style kind of office with old kind of like art deco lamps and a big filing cabinet and stuff. And every house move after that, I've lugged this bloody filing cabinet around with me. So, you know, that was the last time I actually thought about my surroundings. Like right That's now, awesome. I'm building a studio and stuff, but short of, again, still wait for the upholstery, still wait that I rang and it was coming from Germany and it's not going to get here for a few days. I'm fuming, Chris. I am fuming.
I swear everything you get is from Germany. I remember when he went to Sapporo last year. And filmed on your 8mm camera. Took like three months for the German film developers to send it back to you.
It's a real issue. You know, it's a little bit of Brexit. I think it's a lot of Brexit, actually. We forget how much stuff comes from Europe. Like my partner bought a lampshade and we've got to pay like a good old customs charge on it. I'm fairly certain that's got something to do with us leaving Europe. It's getting harder and no one's really sort of calling it what it is. A real shit show.
Shut up and pay more money for your lampshades.
I just want me fabric, man.
Well, as soon as the studio's kitted out, you'll be the first to know. And it's exciting.
Beautiful.
I think I said I want to get like an 80s style backdrop. I'm building a set on one side of it that's going to be a very much like a premium production level quality set. So
cool.
I'm not going to be building it or designing it, as you can imagine, but it's going to be good. Like I'm really going all out on this. So I'm very excited, but more about that in a future episode. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadjapanpodcast@gmail.com, guys. For now, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great week and we'll be back to do it all over again in the next few days right here on the Abroad Japan Podcast. But for now, have yourselves a good one. Bye for now.
Ta-ta.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. Why One Question Time is a Stack production.